Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Well, next Sunday's Mother's Day. I told my wife today, I said, you know, you're a wonder woman. You're always wondering where your cell phone's at. You're always wondering where your purse is at. You're always wondering where your shoes are at. Always wondering where the car keys are at. I said, you are a wonder woman. Praise God. But she's been a good one. I think this year, August, is 58 years marriage. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to read tonight from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And tonight I want to preach to you on this thought, the world's greatest author. The world's greatest author. Almost everybody likes to read a good book. I like books that has a happy ending. I don't like books where the main character gets killed or dies. I like books that have happy endings. Today our libraries are full of books of famous authors, like Mark Twain. They gave us Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, Charles Dickens, that gave us Tale of Two Cities, Oliver Twist, The Christmas Carol, Ernest Hemingway, that give us Call of the Wild, White Fang, Shakespeare, that gave us Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, Julius Caesar, The Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham. Oh, wait a minute, that's Dr. Seuss, that's the wrong one. Then there's Mary Ingalls, that gave us The Little House on the Prairie, Jeanette Oakes, that gave us Love Comes Softly, Wind Comes in Spring, Louis L'Amour, that gave us the famous Western classics like The Sacketts, Broken Gun. Zane Grey, that gave us Riders of the Purple Sage, Centennial, Thunder Mountain, Ohio River. John Grisham, that gave us The Innocent Man and The Confession. All these great authors had a way of taking a story and putting a surprise twist to the final chapter and making it come out with a happy ending. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He can take what looks like a sad ending, a tragic ending, a dark ending, a hopeless ending, a failure ending, and put a surprise twist to it and make it come out with a happy ending. The Bible is full of such stories, and I will refer to them tonight as chapter 9 and chapter 10, if you please. In the story of Abraham offering up Isaac, chapter 9 makes it look like that Abraham was no different than any other heathenistic worshiper who offered up their children to heathen gods. It makes it look like that Abraham was a heartless father. But in chapter 10, the great author and the finisher of our faith put a surprise twist to the story, and it came out with a happy ending. You see, there was a time when the whole human race was doomed to a devil's hell because of sin. But God loved his creation so much that he took the necessary steps to redeem man. The word redeem means to buy back that which you one time owned. You go to a pawn shop and pawn an article, they give you a claim ticket. That means that you can come back at a later date and you can buy back that which you one time owned. It wasn't going to be an easy job, but it could be done. Sin had entered the bloodline of humanity as a result of Adam and Eve. And since the life of the flesh is in the blood, that meant that all humanity's blood was contaminated. So the only way to bring man back to God was someone had to be born without that Adamic sin passed on in the bloodline. But who could do this? There was not a man on this earth that could make this happen. But with God, all things are possible. And God's master plan of redemption was simple. Since he created all things by his word and spirit, he would use his word and spirit to make it happen. So God moved by his spirit, and he spoke the word to a Jewish girl by the name of Mary, and that she would conceive and bring forth a child whose blood would not be contaminated by the Adamic sin. The purpose of this child was to die, to shed his blood as a covering for the sins of all humanity. And Abraham got a glimpse of God's master plan of redemption one day on Mount Moriah as he stood over Isaac and raised the knife to plunge it into his heart. But all of a sudden a voice came from heaven, "Abraham, do your son no harm." And he turned and he saw a male lamb caught in a thicket. And he said, "I can see it now, Isaac. I couldn't see it before when we come up this mountain. I couldn't understand why God would want me to offer up my only son as a sacrifice. But I can see it now. God will provide himself a lamb." Not for himself. He said, "God will provide himself as a lamb." Praise God. Abraham got a glimpse of God's master plan of redemption that day. That's why Jesus said in John 8:56, "Your father Abraham, he rejoiced when he saw my day, and he was glad." And they said, "You're not even 50 years old, and you speak of Abraham." And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, before he was even created, before he was even born, I am." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then John in chapter 1 and verse 29, John is having a baptismal service down at the river of Jordan. And all of a sudden he looks up and he sees Jesus coming down the road. And he stopped and he pointed toward him. Everybody turned to look and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who shall take away the sins of the world." And then God added the surprise twist on Mount Moriah. And it ended with a happy ending. Praise God. In the story of Joseph, chapter 9 looked like that Joseph was going to die in an Egyptian prison. He had been there for 13 long years. But the great author and finisher of our faith put a surprise twist to the story in chapter 10. And Joseph was reunited with his family, and he was made governor over Egypt. In the story of Esther, chapter 9 looked like that all the Jews was going to be annihilated by Haman's evil plot. But in chapter 10 came the surprise twist, and the same one that built the gallows to annihilate the Jews wound up hanging on it himself. In the story of Elijah, chapter 9, it looked like Jezebel was going to have Elijah's head. But in chapter 10 came the surprise twist when he challenged the prophets of Baal, and fire came down from heaven to prove that Jehovah God was the one and only supreme God of the universe. In the story of Daniel, chapter 9, it looked like that he was going to be eaten by lions. But in chapter 10 came the surprise twist, and Daniel came out of the lion's den without a scratch on his body. In the story of Moses, chapter 9, Pharaoh sent out a decree that all male Hebrew babies must be put to death. And the story tells how that a Hebrew woman by the name of Jochebed made a little ark and put Moses in that ark and placed it in a river and turned and walked away with tears in her eyes. But in chapter 10 came the surprise twist when Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to bathe and found that little ark. And when she picked back that blanket, her heart instantly went out to that child. And she wound up taking Moses and raised him in the king's palace and schooled him in the Egyptian schools. And then he stepped on the stage to become their leader, to lead them out of 400 years of bondage and slavery. All throughout the Bible, we read story after story where the great author and finisher of our faith made the story come out with a happy ending. And I want to say today, God wants to write a new chapter in your life. God wants to write a new story in your life. Praise God. Your life does not have to end in failure. Your life does not have to end in defeat. Your life does not have to end broken and sick and feeble. Your life does not have to end broken by the habits of sin. Let Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, dip his pen in his precious blood and write a new chapter in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Several years ago, a friend of mine was pastoring in Joplin, Missouri, Brother Dan Baser. Brother Robert Gilstrap was preaching a revival. And one night there was a couple that came into the church, saw the sign, revival. Came to church that night. They came to an altar. Went to the altar and repented. They was baptized in Jesus' name. Both of them filled with the Holy Ghost. Their name was Janet and Dwayne Combs. Every night, every church night, they was there. They was faithful. Week after week, month after month. Several months went by. One night after church, Janet and Dwayne told Brother Baser, "We need to talk to you in your office." They went in the office and they sat down. Janet began to open up. She said, "Brother Baser," she said, "before I married Dwayne, I was married to the vice president of Hell's Angels." She said, "I was hooked on heroin." And she said, "We divorced. A few years later, me and Dwayne married." Dwayne had his own business in Joplin, Missouri. He was a welder. He was doing good. He was keeping busy. Janet was taking care of the books. But now all of a sudden, the business just kept going deeper and deeper in red. One day, Dwayne come home and he walked in the house. All the furniture was gone. He said, "Janet, where's the furniture?" She said, "Dwayne, there's something I never told you." She said, "When I was married to my first husband, I got hooked on heroin." She said, "I've never been able to get away from it." And she said, "The reason your business was kept going in the red is because I was taking money out of the business to buy heroin. And the reason there isn't any furniture in the house today is because I sold it. I had to have another hit of heroin." Dwayne fell down in the floor in that living room, empty living room, crying like a baby. But that night they walked into that service and came to the altar. God filled them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Janet was a three-time loser. She had been busted three times, and she was fixing to go to court. She told Brother Baser, said, "I'm fixing to go to court, and this is my third time, and the district attorney is pushing for the maximum sentence of 30 years. She had two little small children. And so Brother Baser went, talked to her attorney, and told him how that Janet and Dwayne had turned their life around, and how that God had delivered her from heroin. And the attorney told her, said, "Well, they're recommending that she receive 30 years in the state penitentiary." And they was there that day of the court date, and they brought Janet in, had her in handcuffs, and she had her hair all pulled back, fixed Pentecostal, dressed up real Pentecostal style, and she was sitting there, and the judge, he looked at her, and he said, "Janet, after hearing her case and how that they had changed their lives," and he said, "I don't know why I'm going to do what I'm fixing to do, but," he said, "I'm going to dismiss this case." And he said, "I'm just going to put you on parole." Praise God. Janet lifted her hands right there in that courtroom in front of everybody. She said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." It looked like a 30 years prison sentence she was going to receive. But God Almighty, the great author and finisher of our faith, took his pen and dipped it in his precious blood. And he began to write a new chapter in the life of Janet and Dwayne Combs. And then come the surprise twist. Janet and Dwayne Combs wound up pastoring a Jesus name apostolic church in Baxter Springs, Kansas. Oh, let's clap our hands to him and praise him tonight. There's always a next chapter to be written by the great author and finisher of our faith. And everyone who does has this to say: blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was a Jesus name apostolic church in Texas that was right by big denominational church. I won't tell you their name, but they're the ones that don't believe in musical instruments, so you figure that out. And so they took them to court, and their attorney got up with the judge. He said, "Your Honor," said, "my client here says that they can't worship in their church because of these Pentecostals. They're so loud. Every service night, they turn up the PA system, the guitars and keyboards and organs. They say they can't hear themselves sing for them Pentecostals." And so it just happened to be that the ones representing these Pentecostals was a Jesus name apostolic preacher. So when it came his time, he stepped up and he said, "Your Honor," he said, "have you ever been to a Pentecostal church before? Ever sat in a Pentecostal service?" He said, "No, sir." He said, I don't believe I have. He said, "Your Honor, there's really no way that you can judge this case fairly until you've been to a Pentecostal service." He said, "Do you mind if we give you just a little sample of a Pentecostal service?" And that place was packed with Pentecostals that day. And the judge said, "Well, I think that'd be in order." He said, "Your Honor," he said, "the first thing that we do," he said, "we start off with prayer." He said, "Would everyone please stand and let's have a word of prayer." And they stood and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. You know how Pentecostals pray. And he said, "Your Honor," he said, "the next thing we do," he said, "we have song service. Do you mind if we do a song here today?" Judge said, "I believe that'll be okay." So he said, "I want the congregation to stand again." They stood and he started singing that, "Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away." And then they got down to the chorus, "I'll fly away, oh glory." And you know what? They had about 12 Thomas Garcias in the group. And they were singing, "I'll fly away, oh glory." And you know how them Pentecostals get with it. I mean, they was getting with it. Praise God. And the judge lifted his gavel and he hit his desk and said, I believe this is about to get out of order. And the bailiff jumped up and he said, "Your Honor," he said, "my old grandma used to be one of them apostolics." He said, "Do you mind if they sang one more bar of that song?" And so they started singing again, "I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away." And after they got through singing, he said, "Your Honor," he said, "now the next thing we do," he said, "we take an offering." And so they passed the hat. And the judge and the bailiff put $5 each in. Judge said, "I'm going to take a short recess. I'll be back in a few moments to give you my decision." And while he was gone, the great author and finisher of our faith dipped his pen in his precious blood. It looked pretty dark for those Pentecostals. It looked like they was going to shut their worship down. But the great author and the finisher of our faith began to write a new chapter. And the judge came out of that chamber and he said, "I'm going to dismiss this case." He said, "You Pentecostals go back and you worship God like that you've always worshiped God." Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's worship him tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Read an article one time on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, I've never been a football fan. When I was a kid in school, they put me on a football team. They said, "Hey, throw that ball to me here and he can sure run." Well, the reason I ran is because I didn't want 15 piling on me. Amen. But I just never did. I'd rather watch paint dry than to watch a football game. But anyway, I read this article. Super Bowl Sunday, Americans ate 28 million pounds of potato chips, 8.2 million pounds of tortilla chips. They spent $184.4 million on potato chips and pretzels. They spent $2.37 million on Coke and Pepsi and soda products. They drank 325.5 million gallons of beer. Pizza Hut estimated that they ate 27 million slices of pizza. It was estimated that they would eat 1.23 billion chicken wings on Super Bowl Sunday. The total spent on Super Bowl Sunday was $5.6 billion. I don't know about you, friend, but I'm not going to let some Super Bowl fan out worship me and out praise me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Got a friend that pastored in Rector, Arkansas, had a man in his church by the name of Walter Masurek. Walter was an exuberant worshiper. Walter would get happy and he'd just jump up and down the air. He'd jump 3 feet high in the air, just up and down. Walter got cancer in his throat. He was destroying his voice box. And he said, Brother Hamby said, the devil's got my voice, but he said, he ain't going to get my worship. So Walter went down and he bought him a little brass bell. And every time Walter would get happy, he'd ring that bell. Hallelujah. Time went by. Cancer kept eating away at his body. Walter got so weak, he couldn't even ring his bell no more. So he went down to Walmart and he bought him a little $2 flashlight. Brother Hamby said, we'd get to singing and worshiping God. And he said, every once in a while, I'd see a flash of light go across the church. It was old Walter. Hallelujah. He told Brother Ham, he said, the devil got my voice. He got my strength, but he ain't going to get my worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. It wasn't after a while, a few weeks after that, Walter passed away. They took that brass bell and they put it in the pulpit. One day the church burnt to the ground. One of the men was walking through the debris of the church, and he saw something shiny. He pushed back the debris and raked it away, and there was Walter's brass bell, untouched, the only thing in the church that wasn't burned up, praise God, a witness. Oh, Walter said, the devil got my voice, he got my strength, but he ain't going to get my worship, praise God. I want to tell you something, friend, if Walter Masurek was here tonight, sitting on that front preach, he would be on his feet ringing that bell and flashing that flashlight, amen, because nobody was going to get his worship. How about you tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. God asked Isaiah, Isaiah, when is my people going to worship me like the heathens worship their God? Hallelujah. As long as you've got Jesus, the great author and finisher of your faith, he'll make every chapter in your life come out good, because he said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Several years ago, I was mowing the yard. My wife came to me and she said, I just got a phone call. Brother Charles Phillips, man that was in our home church, said he's been in a terrible truck accident in Cassville, Missouri. Charles was a truck driver. He hauled gasoline. Steering sector on his truck come loose, and the truck rolled over several times. The impact was so great, it threw Charles up out of that truck, up in the air, and he slid down the highline wires on his back. His back looked like somebody had taken a whip and beat him. And so I got in my car, just from here, and said, they're bringing him by ambulance to Freeman Hospital in Joplin. And so I got in my car, I rushed to the hospital, and there was about 20 of us, Jesus' name, apostolics, that were there waiting on the ambulance. When they brought Charles Phillips into that emergency room, he had been scalped. His scalp was laying down over his face. He had one of the best surgeons in Joplin, Missouri. And the surgeon told his wife, he said, he has lost so much blood, I don't think he will make it. You need to call the family in. I'll never forget Sister Phillips going over to the payphone. We didn't have cell phones like we do now. And she called Charles's brother. She said, Phil, said, Charles has been in a terrible truck wreck, and the doctor says he's not going to make it. You need to get here as fast as you can. But I want to tell you something. There was 20 Jesus' name apostolics that was walking that hall of that hospital, and we was bombarding heaven with prayer that day. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus Christ dipped his pen in his precious blood, and he began to write a new chapter in the life of Charles Phillips. And after several hours, that surgeon came out of that surgery room, and he told us, he said, "I believe he's going to make it. I believe he's going to make it. It's a miracle." Amen. A few weeks later, on a Sunday morning, I walked into church, and there sat Charles Phillips on the front seat, head all bandaged up. That Sunday morning, the power of God began to fall, and God spoke through the tongues interpretation, and the Lord said, "You have drawn from the resources that you received in the beginning." That ambulance driver told his wife, all the way from Cassville to Joplin, Missouri, he said, "Your husband, he was speaking in a language I never heard before in my life." Amen. You know what he was? He was speaking in tongues. And that Sunday morning, the Lord said, "You have drawn from the resources that you have received in the beginning." I want to tell you something. When you receive the Holy Ghost, God Almighty puts something inside of you that you can be laid up somewhere in a hospital in a comatose state, but you can draw from those resources that you received in the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me this picture of this lady. This lady here you're about to see. Her name is Terry Harden. Terry was in our church in Bloomington, Indiana. Stage 4, colon cancer. I'll never forget, Brother Williford, I was there when the doctor told her husband, "Your wife has stage 4 colon cancer. She has 5 months to live." I said, "Philip," he broke down and he cried like a baby. I said, "Philip," I said, "we serve the resurrection and the life." I said, "I believe God's going to heal your wife." Me and my wife went up to that hospital room, stood beside Terry's bed, and we began to pray. We began to rebuke those cancer cells, commanded them to dry up and wither away in the name of Jesus. And the power of God came down into that hospital room. Just a few days later, they checked her over again. They said, "Terry, you no longer have colon cancer." I talked to Terry just a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her to send me this picture that they wasn't able to put up here tonight. But she told me, she said, "Brother Mahirin, I just came back from the doctor for my 8th year checkup, and I'm still free of colon cancer." Hallelujah. It looked like a death scene. It looked dark. It looked tragic for Terry Harden. But my friend, the great author and finisher of our faith, dipped his pen in his precious blood, and he began to write a new chapter in the life of Terry Harden, and she is a witness of God's mighty healing power today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a man by the name of Ed Gilmer. I was preaching to Brother Tyson, one of his senior services on Wednesday morning. After I finished preaching, we had those that needed prayer to come up. And Ed Gilmer come up. Ed had nodules all over both arms. It was real gross to look at. He had to keep them bandaged up all the time. Every day, time he cleaned those runny nodules, doctored them, bandaged them, 2 hours every day before he left the house, he went through this. Year after year, doctor said there's no cure for it. But that Wednesday morning, the Lord dipped his pen in his precious blood, and he began to write a new chapter for Ed Gilmer. Me and Brother Tyson laid hands on him and prayed for him. When Ed got back at the house, he took those bandages off, and there was not one nodule on either one of those arms. Oh, hallelujah. The great author, finisher of our faith, will always make every chapter of your life come out with a happy ending. As I look back over the chapters of my life, there were some dark chapters. Well, the doctor told me your wife has crippling rheumatoid arthritis, and it looked like she would be in a wheelchair the rest of her life. But one Sunday night, I carried her in church, and the great author and finisher of our faith dipped his pen in his precious blood, and he began to write a new chapter. She walked out there that night free of rheumatoid arthritis. Then she had a bad mitral valve. The doctor said, you will have to have that valve replaced. We were just fixing to move to Bloomington, Indiana, take the church in Bloomington, Indiana. He said, you will have to have that valve replaced. We hadn't been there very long, and we got in revival. Mike Braswell was preaching revival. Mike was a great man of faith. And my wife went up. She'd been on medication every day, got prayed for. A month later, she told me, she said, I want to tell you something I haven't told you. She said, I have not taken my medication in 1 month. She said, after I was prayed for, she said, I tried to take it the next day and I threw it up. And the Lord told me, you don't need that medication no more. I've healed your body. I've replaced that valve. Hallelujah. Amen. It looked like a dark time, but the great author and the finisher of our faith dipped his pen in that precious blood and began to write a new chapter. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of dark times. That time the doctor said, you're going to lose your eye. We're going to have to take your eye out. But the great author and finisher of our faith wrote a new chapter. She still got her eye. And then when the doctor said, you have breast cancer, it was a dark time. But the great author and finisher of our faith started writing a new chapter. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll make every chapter in your life come out good. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And he'll do the same for you tonight. As we stand tonight, let Jesus Christ dip his pen in his precious blood and write a new chapter for you. Your life doesn't have to end in defeat. Your life doesn't have to end in failure. Your life doesn't have to end sick and crippled and feeble. Your life doesn't have to end bound by sin. There can be a happy ending in every chapter of your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and love him tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want six of you Holy Ghost filled men come and stand across this front right now real quickly. Six of you Holy Ghost filled men. Here they come. Come on, men. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, face the front. Hallelujah. That's it. Hallelujah. Now, six more of you come. Stand on the other side and face them. Praise God. Hallelujah. The great author and finisher of our faith is fixing to write a new chapter in somebody's life tonight. Doesn't matter how dark and bleak it looks, he's going to write a new chapter. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want you to just come and walk through this line and lift your hands and begin to worship him. And let these men anoint you and pray for you tonight. Hallelujah. Friend, you'll leave here different than you came. I promise you that. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. On this side, would you just step out and come through tonight? Praise God. Amen, amen. Sister Christy, give me